Welcome to the Well-Nourished Mother Podcast. This is a show for women who desire a deeper, more mindful, and meaningful pregnancy, birth, and motherhood experience. In this space, we bring so much reverence to the rite of passage that is the maiden to mother journey. I'm your host, Lauren Fortuna Flock, founder of Nest and Nourish. I'm an ex-nurse turned birth worker, holistic nutritionist, and somatic coaching student with a fiery passion for birth prep and motherhood prep that blends the head and the heart. Join me for inspiring conversations with experts, mothers, and all-around badass wise women, exploring all the ways we can nourish ourselves, body, mind, and heart, in pregnancy, birth, and motherhood. This space will help you cultivate the knowledge, practices, and resources you need to be the most embodied, vibrant, authentic, intuitive, and well-nourished mother you deserve to be. So welcome. Let's do this.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Musings and Magic. It's Nicole. Yay.
And Lauren.
We've realized that we haven't properly been introducing ourselves in these episodes, which is funny. And what's more funny is I don't think we're going to in this one either. I mean, we briefly can, since we're on each other's podcasts now consistently, almost bi-weekly. So for those that don't know, I'm Nicole Pazier and I am, oh God, I hate this question. Who are you and what do you do? I'm a mom first and foremost, but I'm also an unconventional business coach in the online space. And I'm really good friends with Lauren, even though we've never met in real life.
Yeah.
What else? I don't know. Yeah, this is not going to be our let's introduce each other episode. We did not prepare for this, but just, yeah, a little tease in case people have been listening and they're like, who is that Nicole chick? And in case people are listening and thinking, who's that Lauren chick? Who are you?
Yeah, I also hate this question.
Well, and you know for my audience, you technically were, I mean, we've both been on each other's podcast, so I guess it's not as awkward as we're making it sound.
Yeah, yeah. But if someone's like, listening for the first time and they stumble upon a Musings and Magic episode, they're probably like, what is happening here? I'm so confused. So I'm Lauren. I'm Nest and Nourish on Instagram. My business is called Nest and Nourish. I am a somatic coach and a postpartum doula. And that's where I'll leave it for today. I'm a mom. I'm a former nurse. Nicole and I have lots in common.
Yes, former nurse. And too.
yeah. And we're like, virtual besties, which is a sign of the times, I think.
Well, and what's funny is we hopped on this call and Lauren's like, I miss you. And I'm like, yeah, I miss you too. And it's weird because we haven't talked since our last Musings and Magic episode, which is very rare for us.
Very rare. Yeah. So I miss you. It's so nice to see you. I don't know what's going on in your world right now.
I know. Yeah.
Usually we're so
totally raw and real and fresh. It's not like we're repeating any stories. Like whatever gets shared in this episode is an actual genuine catch up and reflection of what's been going on. So
I mean, they always are, but
Well, true. They always are. But you know what I mean? Sometimes it's kind of you kind of already know that this has been building up for me, or you've already been witnessing me through something and now I'm just kind of verbalizing it. So no, this one is it's literally been basically 2 weeks since we have connected last. So I guess this, it's Monday today when we're recording. Tomorrow is a full moon. That's all I know.
Same. Yep, it's a full moon. Cool.
how are you feeling in reflection of the cosmic energy? Because last time we recorded, it was the solar eclipse and the intensity of all that. Did you feel that intensity? Were there any things going on for you? And has it subsided?
I feel like I was feeling a lot of heaviness, a lot of lack of clarity. A lot of kind of weird internal dialogues. And I was finally able to have a really hard conversation with my husband that needed to be had, which was totally my own, my own anxiety kind of building it up into being something more than it was.
and finally put on my big girl pants. Kind of put on my big girl pants. I still like initiated the conversation in a very childish way and like very wounded way. But, you know, baby steps. And it ended up being a really juicy, really awesome conversation. So, and was very like enlightening for both of us. So yeah, I feel like I'm feeling, feeling some renewed energy. I'm also, you know, close to ovulation. I don't think I've ovulated yet. So feeling that kind of energy shift as well. Yeah. What about you? What's going on? Energetically?
Yeah, I honestly feel like it feels like it's been years since like, I think it was April 8th that it was the new moon and the solar eclipse. It literally feels like that was years away. Like time has been going by so slow the past couple of weeks. I think, well, for one, like my nervous system has been feeling fried for a while. So I think there's that. We are sick again. Aubrey is sick. Mm-hmm. I am like fighting another cold. So like I have a runny nose and the sniffles. And with that comes like very restless sleep and just, yeah, like all of it. I think I'm on cycle day. I actually have no idea, but I have ovulated. So I'm in my, just starting my luteal phase now and definitely kind of feeling the energy shift of that. I got a couple days of kind of that energetic high. But it didn't last very long. So yeah, just feeling kind of that energetic dip again heading into this week. And it's so hard to really pinpoint like, oh, is it just like my menstrual cycle? Is it just this cold? Is it just the capacity of my nervous system right now? Is it the weather? Like we have also been having some like trippy weather. Like we keep getting a little tease of spring and then another dump of winter, a little tease of spring and another dump of winter. And I feel like that's exactly what's been going on in like my inner world too. Mm-hmm. I get these little teases of, oh, okay, this feels so good. Like I almost forget what winter and like just almost like feelings of burnout felt like. Like it feels like so far away and then it comes crushing right back like in a day or two, much like the weather is right now here in Calgary. So that's kind of a cool metaphor to lean into and kind of just remind myself that like spring and summer will come. Like this is super normal for our weather right now, like here in Calgary. Like we do get these spring teases and then like the spring snow dumps, and that's just totally normal. And every single year I'm like, oh my God, this is so crazy. I can't believe it was so cold yesterday and so warm today. And it's like, this is so normal. Like our weather here is bipolar and you'd think I'd be used to it now, but it's also, yeah, just this humbling reminder of, okay, my internal landscape is kind of the same right now. And maybe that's okay too. Maybe it's not something that I need to fix and kind of grip onto when those like little teasers of spring do come in, and just kind of trust that, okay, like that melt and that thaw is messy, it's unpredictable but also predictable in this like weird way. I don't even know if that answered the question. Like I think energetically there's just been a lot of highs and lows. And this desire to want to make sense of it, but then also this like softening compassion of like, maybe it's not something that needs to be made sense of. Maybe it's something that I just need to be in. So
yeah,
here we are. Mm-hmm. I can't really tell you. I wouldn't be able to say that I'm feeling like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, I don't know that I feel energetically differently new moon versus full moon. And mm-hmm. I was hoping that like after a couple calls together and kind of adding some ritual to actually like having these reflective checkpoints that I'd start noticing these like really loud differences, kind of like I have been able to notice in my menstrual cycle. And I'm not. It all feels the same.
And I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It can still like still sitting down and having this ritual can help create that feeling, you know? And I think
totally.
Yeah, I think that's okay. And I'm the same. It's not like
maybe part of it too is because we both like menstrual cycle wise, we are very close to what's happening cosmically. Like we're bleeding mm-hmm. with the new moon and basically ovulating with the full moon. So maybe that's why I'm not seeing or feeling anything loud, is because I'm actually already feeling it. So it's, there's nothing new to feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I also just want to name that I'm like sitting in bed right now. Aubrey is asleep next to me. I'm hoping she sleeps for most of this. And my hair is in like a day old braids and I'm very distracted. We're on video right now and my hair is like in all the directions.
Oh yeah. I cut my own bangs the other day. But I have curly hair, so it was actually a lot easier than trying to cut like straight hair mm-hmm. or wet, because you just cut them kind of dry. So it turned out okay. It's kind of
yeah,
like
they
a
look good to
curtain
me.
Bang
yeah,
kind of thing.
It looks
yeah.
like
yeah,
everything was purposeful.
Yeah.
Have you cut Zoe's hair at all? Has Zoe had a haircut?
No, not yet. She keeps asking for one, but like I secretly don't want to take her.
Aubrey has like a ton of, like, I don't even know what this is called. Like, her front hair, I feel like, I don't even know what I'm trying to say. Like, I feel like the kid needs bangs. That's ultimately what I'm trying to say. And I keep saying, like, to Dylan, like, we should get Aubrey bangs, because her hair is constantly in her face. Her hair is pretty thin. So it's actually kind of hard to, like, put up in, like, cute ponytails or, like, pigtails, because there's just not enough of it. But, like, there's just a lot of front hair. I feel like her, I don't know, I don't, maybe all kids are like this, but like my hair kind of has just naturally started to part where I always part it, so like it happily goes to one side or the other side, and Aubrey's hair just wants to go forward.
Yeah, she might be the perfect candidate for some bangs then.
So yeah, I feel like she needs some bangs, but then I don't want to have to like take her somewhere to go get these bangs trimmed. So I don't actually want to give her bangs until I'm confident to maybe cut them myself. And there's no way I'm there yet. So
YouTube.
Poor kid, she just gets to have the, yeah, no, totally. I need to, or like some TikTok tutorials or something.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. We've been over here. Zoe has been starting to ask about getting her ears pierced, like all on her own. So we've been watching videos of young kids getting their ears pierced, and she seems pretty consistent in wanting it. But we're just going to, like wait it out a while and see if she keeps asking. And yeah. Otherwise over here, like, I just feel like I can't even think of what has happened in these last 2 weeks. You kind of were saying that it felt really slow. It's felt really fast for me, and I can't even say why or what's been happening, but we're gearing up to go on a trip back to my hometown in Ontario. My brother's getting married and we're all in the wedding. So I've just been kind of putting everything on pause and like really focusing on that, getting the house ready, packing, all of that stuff. So everything kind of work-wise and creativity-wise feels almost like paused right now. And yeah, I've just been so focused on making sure I've got everything ready, and I'm making a slideshow for the wedding and all that fun stuff. So that's kind of taking up the most space.
Are you and your brother close?
We're not super close. No, I wouldn't say we are. But we pick up where we leave off whenever we see each other. And yeah. I'd love to be closer. And maybe now that, you know, he's married and maybe gonna have some kids, we'll be a little more kind of in the same phase of life. And
yeah, I feel like, I know I said it's been going slow, and like it has, but I suppose it's also gone by fast. I feel like really the true answer is it's just kind of felt like a blur, like you said, like I can't really tell you what's been going on, which is probably why we which is probably why we haven't had any like points of connection, because there hasn't been any very like novel updates to give each other. I feel like, again, kind of in reflection of the what's happening in nature and the teasing of spring and then the winter dump, I feel like I'm kind of seeing that in my business too, where I'll get these like moments of, oh, okay, yeah, I'm gonna do this, have that momentum, have that excitement, have that like bout of clarity, and then something like Aubrey and I getting sick kind of puts that pause button. It's like, oh yeah, well, this is my priority right now, right? Like I want to be a present mom. I also want to be tending to my own health. And so, yeah, it kind of feels like, I hate saying this out loud, but it kind of feels like business stuff just keeps getting pushed on the back burner. And I keep asking myself, like, is that happening because life just keeps lifing and I haven't mastered this very fake balance at all that people speak of? Or is it like this form of almost like self-sabotage of like, am I actually like manifesting this sickness as like a way to like slow me down? I don't know.
I feel like that's the million interesting
to notice the pattern, because this has been my pattern now since like January, February. I haven't been able to follow through on anything I start because something, quote unquote, gets in my way.
Yeah. And I feel like this is like the kind of million-dollar question for all mother entrepreneurs. Yeah. You know, it's a very similar experience. It's like how to find this delicate balance of prioritizing being a present mom and also, you know, having a business and being creative and wanting to put things out into the world. Or is this just what it looks like? You know, is this the balance? The fact that you can kind of let the it all pause. Kind of be put on the back burner.
Yeah.
There's space for pause. That's what I'm constantly struggling with too, honestly. And I feel like I've been in a very similar kind of phase as well, where I get these like bursts of energy and motivation and excitement about, you know, an offer or whatever it is. And then life just kind of gets in the way and I let it get in the way. And then I take, you know, a pause and an exhale and then kind of get back to it when I can. And I think I would have fought against this so much more, even like a year ago. And now I'm just realizing more and more that, you know, this is where my capacity is at right now. Like I don't have childcare. My daughter doesn't go to daycare. She doesn't go to school. It's just, there's very limited, like just me time to begin with. So knowing that it's a season for now, and yes, I can also see where I am using it as self-sabotage because I don't feel ready or I'm scared or, and that's okay too.
Yeah. We've talked about kind of that fear aspect and I think it was the last episode, but it's, yeah, what's coming up for me, actually two things. One, the fact that we're both projectors, and in human design, like as a projector, these kind of sprints of energy are actually really, really normal. And I know for me, like I'm still softening into that as my like normal, more organic way of being, because I feel like, and this is kind of the second part that was coming up, is like obviously society has kind of set us up to believe that we should be able to be on all the time and that productivity should look kind of linear, and having these spaces for pauses is kind of frowned upon, and it looks like, oh well, you're just not trying hard enough, or you are self-sabotaging, or you just don't want it bad enough, or there's something wrong and you need to fix it. That's kind of what society is, that external pressure at least that I have been programmed or have received. And I think kind of leaning into the deconditioning of that, plus leaning into my human design, your human design, and that we are projectors, and we don't have that. I don't even understand it, actually. I think it's something to do with being non-sacral beings. We don't have, I don't know. I'm not going to speak on that because I don't know enough. But I do know projectors work in sprints, not marathons. So,
It's like the difference between that, like that hustle and like success is being consistent. And I think in the past, I really thought that was true and would also always get so down on myself because I have always had trouble being consistent. I've always had trouble with routines. Even like simple morning routines, I find very difficult. It feels very monotonous to me. Like I get very uncomfortable when I find myself doing the same thing every morning. It's very, but learning to be okay with my inconsistency and just shifting that my perspective that maybe this is just how I function and that there's nothing wrong with that. And I can be just as productive as someone who is super consistent every single day. It gets to look different.
Well, and it's kind of funny because we throw around the word consistent all the time. Like that's the goal. Like we all want consistency when really like consistency is so unique and subjective. We need to be defining it for ourselves. And I think consistency is also cyclical. So just that reminder that like what's consistent might actually not be linear and it's actually, it will likely have a different pattern to it.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, if I didn't have kids, this whole idea of consistency would be a whole lot easier because you can plan out your days and they can look the same every single week. But when you throw in motherhood, there is just so much that's unexpected that you can't plan for. And it really forces you to just kind of roll with it and go with the flow and ride those waves. And I think if we can kind of shift our, even just shift the image of it, of what is consistency, you know, instead of like a straight line, like you're saying, what if it's those waves coming in? We love our wave metaphors. Hey,
our wave metaphor. Yeah. One, like I think I know for me in early motherhood, something that really landed for me that I've definitely held on to and taken with me as I continue on this motherhood journey is like rhythms instead of routines. So, because routine feels very rigid and kind of time stamped to it. And I know, like, even in the entrepreneurial space, there's like, time block your day and like schedule this and like it's like no like that will never work for me. Motherhood aside, that would never have worked for me. But like this idea of rhythms and just kind of having this predictable flow, but in a, again, the word organic keeps coming to mind, in a very like organic timeline.
Yeah, I've been thinking about like consistency a lot in relation to my podcast too, because yes, we've been pretty consistent with these episodes, which has been great. But in terms of releasing like regular well-nourished mother episodes, I've been pretty terrible these last couple of months. And again, it's interesting to see the difference now, even compared to a year ago when I started, it was very much like I had to release an episode every 2 weeks. And if I somehow got behind because, you know, life, motherhood, all of that stuff, I felt like a failure. I felt like I wasn't doing it right. And now it just feels so different. It's like, you know, if people are going to stop listening altogether because I haven't released an episode in a few weeks, then that's okay. Like, sure, maybe it's not the podcast
but like,
for you.
Nobody's actually doing that. Like, can you think of as a podcast listener? Like, do you just stop listening to a podcast because you feel ghosted by your favorite podcast host? No. Like, you just patiently wait for the next one. That's interesting, though, kind of hearing the reflection on how you did define, you broke the podcast normal rules at the very beginning. You said, no, there's no way I'm going to be doing weekly shows. Like that will not be something that I can consistently maintain. That's not going to feel good. And so you wrote your own rules. You said, I'm going to do bi-weekly episodes instead. And you did maintain that level of consistency for a long time. By the way, happy like 1 year podcast anniversary to both of us.
Oh my gosh.
We didn't even talk about that, which is, and I both of us, we both started our podcast this time last year. So it's been a year.
Oh my gosh.
It's been a year.
I feel like it comes a should, but I should have like done something for that.
Well, it's funny because I was well aware of it, like even on, because my podcast anniversary, I think, was April 11th, and I was well aware of it. I kind of like sat with myself on that day and reflected on just like the highs and lows of the past year. And like I did my podcast rebrand back in October and just kind of noticing the difference and the evolution and the growth. I even listened to some of my old episodes, which is so cheesy. I listen back to my episodes quite frequently. It's weird on like double speed because I can't stand to hear myself at like normal speed. But I totally heard those shoulds of like, oh, well, I should like talk about this. I should celebrate myself. I should like allow other people to celebrate with me. And I didn't, like, I didn't even, like, reach out to you and, like, until right now, verbalizing, like, hey, happy podcast anniversary. And that's kind of weird for me, because I've definitely been in a season of being very mindful and intentional about trying to celebrate, like, the little wins. And this obviously is a little, maybe even big win. And I just kept it to myself. And I can't really tell you why. I think it just kind of shows you what's been going on in my inner world, and the fact that, like, it has been so sloppy in the sense of these freeze thaw, and I don't necessarily feel grounded, I guess, or rooted in, I don't even know, that feels really vulnerable to share out loud, actually, like, feeling ungrounded right now. And that doesn't even necessarily make sense or give an excuse as to why I didn't outwardly celebrate, but I don't know. I'm just going in circles now. I don't have a reason. I just didn't.
I just didn't. And that's okay. I didn't either. I just looked. It was April 5th for me. So I'm way past the 1 year. Yeah. And, like, I remember having the thought a few weeks ago, like, oh, that's April. That's this month. And then right April out the window. Life, right?
I think for me, and again, this feels vulnerable to talk about, but I was able to take some time, like I said, by myself to kind of celebrate the growth and the consistency that I did have. I have done 50 episodes, which seems absolutely crazy. I don't know how I did that. And the thing is like, that was at my own pace. Like, that was sometimes 3 a week because I felt chatty, and that was sometimes, like, none for 2 weeks or 3 weeks at a time. So celebrating that, like, that I did things at my own pace, also celebrating the evolution, like I said, in the sense that, like, I did my rebrand and I kind of got closer and closer and closer to just, like, the truest version of what I wanted the podcast to become. So celebrating all of that, but I was totally being a harsh critic to myself and kind of disappointed with the littlest things. And it's so interesting how those little tiny things, I allowed them to kind of blow up and outweigh all the bigger things that actually were worth celebrating. And that is such a, like, potent realization of how often I do that in just life in general, where, like, there's so many good things and then there's, like, one or two teeny tiny bad things, and I allow those teeny tiny bad things to take over.
These are, like, really good full moon reflections here, kind of looking back and, you know, looking back at our podcast journeys. And yeah, this is not at all, I think, what we had planned to talk about.
I don't think we planned anything.
Yeah, we didn't plan anything, but no, this fits in perfectly, really. You're like, we're looking back and seeing what has worked, what hasn't worked. And yeah, so I'm celebrating you and your 50 episodes, a year of the podcast, a rebrand, sinking deeper with every episode into, you know, fuller expression, being okay with the messiness, being okay with the imperfection, and yeah, so celebrating you.
Thank you, my friend. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that messiness is something that I constantly need to remind myself that that's part of my mission. Like, part of my mission is normalizing that messy middle and being able to showcase it and model it even in an authentic way, and, like, the Nicole way. And I think that's where a lot of the insecurity and the self-doubt creeps in, because that can't be modeled to me by anyone else, right? Nobody else can model to me the Nicole way to build a business or grow a podcast or create a new offering. And so it is this constant reminder and invitation to ground and root into what is the Nicole way and continue to explore that and deepen it. So yeah, I guess I'm celebrating myself in that too, and trying to, I'm hearing the criticism, and I'm seeing myself through the disappointment. And like that disappointment is, I can see so clearly that it's rooted in someone else's definition of success, because mm-hmm. where the disappointment comes in is more so out of metrics and like not seeing mm-hmm. the growth, quote unquote, that I would have liked to see, or not perfecting or polishing up my like intro or outro, or being consistent with like making my episodes into blog posts and putting them on my website. Those are all very external like shoulds in podcast land. And from the beginning, I haven't subscribed to them. So why is it that I'm measuring this year of podcast growth based on those metrics? Like I can kind of zoom out and see, okay, Nicole, that's silly. come back home to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Anyways. And come back home to like all of the connections. Think of all the conversations you've had.
Yes. It's so cool to think about that.
Yeah. And like all of the, like not only the interviews and like the conversations with people on the podcast, but all of the behind the scenes conversations of people commenting about the episode. And that's what I'm really celebrating. And that's kind of what I
was just
going
to reflect that back to you, that like for you specifically, like your show has been rooted, I feel like a broken record saying that word like 5 times in a row now, but your show really has been rooted in creating a space for those conversations and those connections. And you have really been unwavering in your pursuit of that. And that goes unnoticed. And like the potency that each episode delivers, like you're not half-assing it. And even if you feel like you are, it's not perceived that way. And so it's always worth the wait. When you make us wait longer than 2 weeks for the next episode, it's always worth the wait.
Thank you. Woohoo. A year of podcasting.
Yeah. Isn't something else that's been coming up? Oh, you go ahead. I was just going to say,
isn't there some like statistic that like, I don't know, like 50% of podcasts don't make it past a year? Like, I'm pretty sure it's a very
I remember, like, I'm pretty sure you told me a statistic at the beginning that like, something about like making it to like 20 or 25 episodes. Like that's like a huge like podcasting landmark. Yeah. I think what's interesting is like, I'd love to say that it gets easier. And obviously like aspects of it do, right? Like the editing has gotten easier. The actual like the tech stuff of like uploading it and like making it into an actual podcast, like all of that gets easier, but the showing up, the being vulnerable, the talking about hard shit, all of that, it doesn't get easier. And it's again, just a humbling reminder that like, I don't think it's supposed to, like, that's just evidence that we are on this beautiful, like growth spiraling higher kind of journey. Right. So like, the hard doesn't just go away. The discomfort, the insecurity, the resistance, it doesn't go away. It just shows up at a new level. So I'm celebrating that too, because that's showing me, that's evidence for me that I am continuing to expand, meet my edges, expand, titrate, all the things that we talk about all the time, right? Riding those waves, like the waves don't go away. Mm-hmm. Anyways, the other thing that I was thinking about, and I've been unraveling this in my own mind the last couple of days, is I feel like this is very on brand for our conversation so far around being, how do I want to say this? For those that have been in my space for a long time, know that I talk a lot about desire over obligation, and in like specifically in my coaching space, my approach is like, okay, well, what do you actually want to do? And like, whose definition of success are you actually following? And like, what are your deepest desires and how do you get there? Like really coming back to you and like what you actually want. And a lot of the comments back are, well, I don't know what I want. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I face that myself too. Like that is the default answer of like, well, I don't know. And that I don't know answer really is just like this illumination of, in my opinion, like self-doubt and lack of self-trust, lack of confidence in actually owning what you want and like stepping forward in what you want, because that's really, really uncomfortable. Like I said, like, it's really, really hard to continue showing up and building or creating something the Nicole way when it hasn't been modeled to me before. It's way easier to be able to just copy and paste and like follow someone else's strategy, framework, recipe book, whatever it is. Anyway, so I've been diving deeper into this like desire versus obligation, and how obligation for me stemmed from, I think, my journey of unlearning like good girl conditioning and people pleasing. Because for me, so much of what I did, so much of my actions were in pursuit of pleasing someone else or being perceived as perfect or whatever like that looked like, right? Whatever variation of that. So it was kind of a the opposite of being a good girl is like, hey, well, I'm not just going to do what I'm obligated. I'm actually going to do what I want. And what I've realized is I'm missing like the consistency that comes with commitment. Mm-hmm. So like I'm missing, and I know you've voiced this before, where like you are longing for more ritual. And I think sometimes what I hear from that is like longing for more consistency and structure in our lives. Longing for like something to maybe look forward to, longing for, yeah, that just predictability, because in the season of motherhood we're in, there is no predictability. And anyway, so I've been untangling all of that and noticing, okay, yeah, I do really have this longing for more structure, specifically in my business, specifically in like my schedule, and not in the sense of like time blocking and having everything like time stamped. I don't want that, but I do want more predictability. And for a long time, I was resisting that, thinking, well, no, that's just going to create more obligation. If I have things like set in stone on my calendar, then I'm obligated to show up for them. And then I'm potentially teetering into the just like the realms of like performance and people pleasing again, and showing up just because I'm expected to, and just another mode of like self-betrayal. So I've been really resistant to that. And yeah, just realizing now that, no, I'm actually really longing for that and trying to figure out, okay, how do I incorporate more of this in my life? How do I show my nervous system that it's safe to have this structure and stability and obligation to something on my calendar, while also it being my deepest desire? And I think my answer in all of this is coming to the whole, you get to choose your heart, right? And like, nothing is supposed to be super easy. I think if things are super easy, then that's often evidence that you might be in your comfort zone. So I think being able to choose your heart, and so the desire aspect comes from choice and getting to choose, okay, what is it that I want to be committed to? What is it that I do want, that kind of safe version of obligation, like that internal obligation, that commitment, that devotion, that inner discipline. Mm-hmm. Am I making sense?
Yeah. Yeah. What I'm hearing is like, when I hear the word obligation, it's got a lot of negative connotations to mm-hmm, it. And it feels very, yeah, like you have, it's something you have to do whether you want to or not. So I think
override your body to get it done.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it's such a different experience when you're in this energy of devotion, of commitment, of dedication. Mm-hmm. And when you feel yourself kind of feeling like you feel yourself losing that energy and it feeling more like obligation, then maybe it's a sign that something needs to be looked at again. Mm-hmm. Why is this feeling like obligation again? Is it because I'm not excited about the project, or is it because it's getting a little bit hard and I don't like that and I'm uncomfortable with that? Does it mean that you should quit the project and move on to something else? Probably not. But it's like, can we use these sensations?
But
these
maybe, like, I think that's the other thing. Maybe. Is like, no, yeah. But maybe. And so like, it's also not being completely resistant to when there's that communication from either your body or even like your inner wisdom, your higher self, of like, this isn't working anymore. Like, we need to pivot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And being okay with pivoting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a hard balance, right? It's hard to be so kind of attuned to your own like subtle energy to know the difference between, okay, what is like fear and anxiety and self-sabotage and what is actually like desire, and what is actually me just like shifting into wanting to try something different and new. You know, is it because I really don't want to do this anymore? Or is it because I'm scared and I'm yeah, not sure how it's going to go. And yeah, it's a very kind of delicate balance.
Yeah. And I think the other thing too is, and we talk about this all the time, right? Like all of this needs to be matched to your current capacity. And mm-hmm. our capacity is constantly changing, right? Like, especially in these toddler years of motherhood where developmentally, why does that word sound funny coming out of my mouth? Developmentally, like there's some really big changes, right? Like, and the level of presence, that's not true. The level of presence doesn't necessarily change, but like the, just like the way that being present and attuning to our child's needs looks different. Like I've been reflecting on that too, how like a year ago when Aubrey was 1.5, the way I showed up for her, the way I showed up as a present and conscious mom, if we're going to smack labels on the things, looks very different than what a present and conscious mom to a 2.5-year-old looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm holding space for that, and I'm giving myself a lot of grace and compassion as I kind of wobble through what that looks like right now and like the turbulences that that brings into other aspects of my life, right? Into my business, into my own like relationship with self, into my marriage, into all of it. Like it shifts. And so creating room for those shifts instead of having an obligation to, well, this is how it was last year, this is how it was like 2 months ago, so we got to keep it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just really softening into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We might need a potty break over here. Sorry to disrupt our flow, but
don't apologize. We need like some intermission music.
We're back.
Hello. I don't remember what we were talking about.
Well, you were mentioning just about how you're kind of longing for more not even consistency, because we were just talking about...
I know, that's the wrong word.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, know what I think it is? Because I've been reflecting on like when this shifted for me. And so when Recalibrate ended last December, and Recalibrate was my mastermind that I ran for 6 months, it was weekly calls. And so having that weekly call date on my calendar, I didn't even realize it in the moment. But like now that it's gone, it became this beautiful anchor point for me. Like I got to anchor into it. It was an ounce of stability in my very unpredictable, thick of mothering life, right? And so, because I don't have a lot of that right now, like even in terms of like podcasting or the other calls that I am committed to in my business, there's so much flexibility with them because I've created a business to have that flexibility. But I guess I'm almost noticing this like desire to swing a little bit, not all the way, but swing a little bit on the pendulum and have more, I don't want to use consistency, but just have more
routine
still seems too rigid, but something to anchor into again. And I suppose like these calls kind of are helping with that, but even then we've created so much flexibility around them because we need to, right? We need that mm-hmm. flexibility. I think truly like what this is a beautiful mirror for me to sink into is like this invitation to actually commit to, I suppose, more rigid, like, business working hours for me. Like, because how it's been going is, like, I kind of only show up to my business when I either have inspiration or I have something that I am committed to. And I think what my business is maybe asking from me, and maybe this is why it's showing up, is, like, hey, we want more, like, dedicated time. It's kind of like, in marriage, like you need to just mm-hmm. create time. You have to make time for like date nights or whatever it is. Like that doesn't just like, like it only happens if you make time for it, right? So I think that's kind of what's being illuminated for me is like I need to just make time and recommit to the previous commitment that I did make with my business. But from a like softer, more feminine embodied lens, because I feel like that's the thing is like I started my business with that commitment and more rigidity and more of like the masculine like undertones to it of wanting to kind of follow someone else's timeline in terms of like, okay, well, this is how often you should create podcast episodes, or this is how often you should make posts, this is how often you should do blah, 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 blah. And I've swung on the pendulum way to the other side, completely broken all the rules. And yeah, now I'm just kind of, yeah, finding my own center again. So just wanted to bring language to that because I feel like there's probably other people experiencing something similar and trying to make sense of what that means, especially if you have been on learning some of like the Good Girl programming and kind of resistant to that like yucky word of obligation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really like the word devotion, or even like just devotional time, you know, and I think the difference here is like, instead of saying, you know, every Monday at 2 p.m., I'm doing a 3-hour block of podcasting. Maybe it's like every week I have a 3 to 4 hour block of podcasting, and then you get to choose which day that is, and being devoted to choosing a day and not just letting it go, you know?
Well, so I think that's the thing is I've created so much flexibility that I'll have that in my head, but then I won't follow through on it. And each time that happens, each week, another week goes by and I didn't follow through on something that I kind of told myself I wanted to do. Not only is that a teeny tiny ounce of self-betrayal, but it's also like a negative tick in the in the sense of like building self-trust. It's like two steps back in the self-trust department. So each time that's happening, there's no like, oh, hey, I can actually trust myself when I say I'm going to do something.
And there's no containment, right? That masculine container is missing. And even if it's like a very loose container, it's still missing. And you know, it's funny that, you know, earlier I said how much I hate routine and consistency, but it's the thing that I need the most, honestly. Yeah. Like
I think it's more about redefining what those words look like.
Yes. Yeah. 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 It's a good reflection to really look at, you know, where in my life, where in my business, where in my marriage, am I not kind of creating that space for devotion, creating that space for commitment, for dedication. It's a good reflection on this almost full moon.
That's a silk.
Zoe's teaching her doll how to do gymnastics and jump on the trampoline down here. It's very cute. I feel like we're almost at an hour already.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
I feel like even if we weren't watching the clock, that would be apparent with the fact that both of the girls are starting to talk more.
Yes, that's our cue.
Like they always make an appearance at the end of these episodes. Yeah, you want to say hi to Zoe?
Zoe, do you want to say hi to Aubrey?
Okay.
No. Okay. Maybe.
Hi, Zoe.
Hi, Zoe.
Hi, Abby.
Hi, Abby.
Hi, Zoe.
I think that's the first time Zoe's actually said Aubrey's name.
So cute.
So cute.
Oh, anytime I'm on Zoom, Aubrey's always like, hi, Zoe. And it's like, it's not Zoe and Lauren. It's not Zoe and Lauren every time. I'm sorry. Okay. Is there anything else coming up for you?
No, I'm just thinking of how we can maybe like end on a more kind of full moon vibe. I mean, I guess that's kind of what we've been doing the whole time, though, is reflecting and letting go of what no longer serves. And
I also think just like there's something to be said about like the art of storytelling. And so the mm-hmm. fact that we both kind of just reflected on the experiences that have been unfolding for us, like allowing and trusting that to be enough, right? I know that's something that I've really been untangling and dismantling in my own podcast and like content creation of is like what is valuable. And it doesn't mm-hmm. always need to end on a, oh well, here's like homework or here's a takeaway or like,
yeah,
right? Like just trusting that being able to hear our own reflections and maybe having a sense of, oh gosh, I'm not alone. Like Nicole's going through that too. So I'm not, mm-hmm. something's not wrong with me. Like whatever that is, like just trusting that that's enough.
Yeah. Well, in that case.
In that case, this is a damn good episode, if I do say so myself.
In that case, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Alrighty. See y'all in what, like 2-ish weeks?
Yes, 2-ish weeks for a new moon. Yeah, it's going to
be May.
Whoa.
May new moon. That's crazy. I honestly, like, I feel like March and April, both of them have just, like, it's a blur.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
If you told me that yesterday was February, I would believe you.
Yeah, agreed. I totally agree. Yeah.
So weird.
So weird.
Anyways.
But I'm going to go out and do some gardening.
I love that for you.
I hope you guys feel better.
Thank you. Have a good trip and enjoy your brother's wedding.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, Lauren and Zoe.